Segel und Gott an der Teilung und wir erinnern. Wir machen uns mit der Kissen aus der Telesen und die Wache der Untersamme Tanne. Namaste, so soll die Liebe Gura Mani Pritzane. Never say, so Signor Rani Puskati Desta. It's today the 13th verse or the 14th? 17th or 18th? This is one of the most amazing verses of the Bhagavatam. Are you ready? Thus. Abhidyayata.
Abhidyayata.
While thinking.
While thinking.
So who? So this first two words, iti abhidyayato. So thus while thinking. Who is the one who is thinking? Lord Brahma. And yesterday's verse described what he was thinking, and yesterday's verse is also very important and very wonderful. So who remembers without looking at your mobile phone? Because that's not remembering. Who remembers what Brahma was thinking? But don't worry, I'll read it. Who remembers what he was thinking? Everyone's being very humble. Who remembers? Was anyone here? Who was here? Who wasn't? Never mind. We won't take attendance. I'll read yesterday's verse. Brahma was thinking because what had happened is that the earth, during the Brahma's Visarga creation, when he was producing so many different of the original living beings in this world. Who were the first ones produced? It's called earlier in the third canto. Four Kumaras, so many living entities. Then he got angry, and then Rudra was produced. And one by one, and this was going to be the source of the universal population. And then he noticed that while he was absorbed in what he was doing, the earth had fallen down to a lower place. And he began to think, and this was what we just heard, iti abhidyayato. As he was thinking, now this is what he was thinking. Now this is very important for all of us when we are confronted with not knowing what to do in life or in some difficult circumstance. Of course, none of you ever get in any difficult circumstances. But actually, all of us get in. I was about to say, I get in difficult circumstances and you don't. But then I remembered our philosophy, and that is the material world is meant for difficult circumstances. It is. We are thinking it's going to be heaven without Krishna, with me as the center, but actually it turns out to be quite hellish. So this instruction by Brahma's example of how he dealt with a difficult circumstance, we should imbibe this. What does imbibe mean? Another word for imbibe.
Absorb.
Take it to heart, absorb, assimilate, take inside. Because through the hearing process, we are meant to take things inside. Things that the book is outside of us, but through hearing or studying, we are meant to take it inside. So this is something we are meant to take inside. So Brahma thought, while I have been engaged in the process of creation, the earth has been inundated by a deluge. It has been covered by rain and has gone down into the depths of the ocean. What can we do who are engaged in this matter of creation? What should I do? Here is a circumstance, Brahma thought. And I am responsible for the creation. This is some duty I have to perform. Or in many of our cases, it's what I want to do. But in Brahma's case specifically, it was a duty he had to perform on behalf of the Supreme Lord. And he thought, what should I do? This has happened. I had one plan. I wanted things to happen one way, and something happened that I didn't want to happen. And it is, in this case, it was a disaster. And his solution was, it is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. Because if we try to always direct ourselves based on our limited intelligence, we are going to get such a mixed reaction. Maybe we'll get something good happen, but also along with the good will come something. Another difficulty will occur. It's just always mixed. This is the nature of the material world. And when we look at it from the point of view of contemporary society or so-called civilization, as Prabhupada would say, everyone is trying to solve problems. But the problems they create when they solve the problem is greater than the original problem. We're all laughing, yes. Except that when it happens to us, you know, we want to go faster from one place to the next. But then it creates so many other problems, dependence on oil, you have to buy a car, and then there's the traffic jams, and on and on and on and on. And then Prabhupada, he was the first person that I ever asked the question, well, what's the need from going from here to there? What's the difference? In Melbourne, he said this in perhaps 1975, on a morning walk, he said, what's the difference between the four-legged dogs? Prabhupada was very blunt. And sometimes it appeared as if he was insulting. What is the difference between all the dogs who are running on four legs and the humans who are running on four wheels? So he was making the point the difference in mentality was wheels and legs. Basically, that was the only difference. The same mood was there. A doggish mentality. Who else would say something like that? And then, of course, he would say they were rascals. And thinking, making so much advancement, and we're so much better off than we were, and the blind people, Andarya Tandarya Paniyamanas, the blind people, the foolish people, just follow along. Thinking, yes, we are making advancement, we are making advancement. But the world, if one has the bravery to read the newspaper, the world is always on the verge of such difficulties and disasters and killing people, killing each other. What's the difference between riding on four legs and four wheels? If the mentality is doggish, the dogs will attack each other, and that's just what's happening. Four-wheeled dogs killing each other. What to speak of if one is there and has to experience these things. So difficult, so demonic, actually. Because there is no true dependence on the Supreme Lord and waiting. It is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. And Prabhupada's purport is only one, two sentences to yesterday's verse, and I'll read it again. The devotees of the Lord, who are all confidential servitors, are sometimes perplexed. What does perplexed mean? Confused in the discharge of their respective duties. These confidential means very intimate. The devotees are intimate servitors of the Lord. That means that they're very intimate with the Lord, and their relationship is one of service. intimate servants of the Lord, confidential servants of the Lord. And because they have that type of dedication to the Lord's service, therefore, even if they are perplexed in the discharge of their duties, they are never discouraged, because this is what Prabhupada says, they are never discouraged, because they know that behind the difficulties is Krishna. They have full faith in the Lord. This is how they can deal with the difficulties of life and not become discouraged. They have full faith in the Lord. In this world, everyone is taught from childhood to have faith in themselves. But they don't even know who their self is. So it's a problem to have faith in, if my body, the self I have faith in, is he 20 years old? Is he 16 years old? Is he 5 years old? Is he 35 years old? Is he 55 years old? What am I having faith in? My mind? I have faith in my mind? What has proved more trustworthy than to me in my own life than my mind? My intelligence is limited. They have full faith in the Lord because they know who they are. How can you have full faith in the Lord? The most pious souls, they have their faith is in Shastra. So if Shastra says that we should trust the Lord, we trust the Lord. But the less pious of us, we learn by our experience to not just trust our own judgment, but to trust the Lord, because He's protected us a million times. He's given us everything we have. Is it me whose power, great power, is causing my hand to lift? Is it me who's causing my blood to circulate? Is it me who's making the amazing ability to see? I take it all for granted. But how am I seeing even? It's simple, something that I take for granted, I do every day without thinking. But how is the seeing process working? It's so complicated. And what to speak of making sense out of what you're seeing? Or just the simple acts of moving the hand. Where does the energy come from? And then there's so many muscles, balancing, counterbalancing. How many muscles are in the body? Huh?
I'm not sure.
What? Anyone know how many muscles there are in the body? Too many. So many. So complicated. It's so complicated. And yet, and the intelligence cannot perceive what's going on. So he concludes, the devotee concludes that he's dependent. He's a dependent living entity. And who's he dependent on? He's dependent on Krishna. So the devotees, they have full faith in the Lord, and he paves the way for the smooth progress of the devotee's duty. Now, that's only two sentences, but how important and powerful they are. That's what Srila Prabhupada has given us. Just two simple sentences of what it means to be a devotee. He paves the way, Krishna paves the way for the smooth progress of the devotee's duty. Now, When something happens to us that perplexes us, confuses us, we have our plan of how we want the problem solved. And when it doesn't happen according to our plan, and especially according to our timing, like we want the problem solved right now, if he's going to tell me, I want it done like this, and I want it done right now, but the devotees, their faith is much deeper than that. Because one never knows how Krishna is going to protect and deal with this particular difficulty. So that's the verse we're reading today. And I said, how did I begin the class saying, even before I began? This is an amazing verse, one of the most amazing verses, because how Krishna chooses to solve the problem of Brahma is certainly a way that no one would have predicted. So now we're ready to read the verse. So we read the first two words of the Sanskrit, iti abhidhyayato. Well, Brahma was thinking in this way. Nasa vivarat. Please repeat, we're actually doing the word by words now. Nasa vivarat.
Nasa vivarat.
From the nostril.
From the nostrils.
Sahasa.
Sahasa.
All of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
Anaga.
Anaga.
O sinless one.
O sinless one.
So who is speaking to whom? I hear a rumbling like thunder, but I'm not sure, didn't hear any brave person who said.
Maitreya to Vidura.
Excuse me, Paul.
Maitreya to Vidura.
Maitreya is speaking to Vidura. Oh, sinless Vidura. Thank you, Paul. What is your name?
Pushpinder.
Pushpinder. The one who holds flowers? What is it? Pushpinder?
Pushpinder.
Okay, sorry. That's what happens when a Vedic word enters a Brooklyn ear. What does your name mean?
My teacher told me it's the king of flowers.
King of?
Flowers.
Yes. Pushpendra, yes. How nice. So all of a sudden, so Vidura was sinless. All of a sudden, Varaha Toka, a minute form of Varaha,
a
boar,
Niragat,
came out from his nostril. Nasa vivarat, from the nostrils. So a very small form of a boar, varaha. And he's thinking, I don't know how to solve this problem. I should depend on the Lord. And all of a sudden, a very small form of a boar came out of his nostril. And then the last line describes the size of this boar. Angushta.
Angushta,
the upper portion of the thumb. Parimanaka.
Parimanaka,
of the measurement.
Of the measurement.
So here is Srila Prabhupada's translation. All sinless Vidura.
All of a sudden.
While Brahma was engaged in thinking. A small form of a boar came out of his nostrils.
The measurement of the creature
was not more than the upper portion of a thumb. That is amazing, yes? A small boar came out of his nostril. But that's not the end of the amazement. The amazement is just now beginning. Text 19. O descendant of Bharat, while Brahma was observing him, that boar became situated in the sky in a wonderful manifestation, as gigantic as a great elephant. Struck with wonder, this is text 20, struck with wonder at observing the wonderful boar-like form in the sky, who at this point was as large as an elephant, Brahma, with great brahmanas like Marichi, as well as the Kumaras and Manu, they began to argue in different ways. Is this some extraordinary entity come in the present, in the pretense of a boar? What does pretense mean in this case? Like pretending, disguised, pretense, pretending to be a boar. Is this some extraordinary entity that's come pretending to be Varaha, a boar? Is it a very one? It is very wonderful that he has come for my nose. First of all, this boar was seen no bigger than the tip of a thumb, and within a moment, he was as large as a stone. My mind is perturbed. It is disturbed. Is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu? And here is Srila Prabhupada's short purport. Since Brahma is the supermost person in the universe, and he had never before experienced such a form, he could guess that the wonderful appearance of the boar was an incarnation of Vishnu. The uncommon features symptomatic of the incarnation of Godhead can bewilder even the mind of Brahma. So we'll speak a little bit here. So who remembers something from the purport that I just read? Raise your hand if you remember something from the purport. Yes.
The uncommon features of the Supreme Personality of God, it can even bewilder Lord Brahma.
Yes. Thank you. But even bewilder Lord Brahma. And who is Lord Brahma? Of course, we know he's the four-headed one, the secondary creator of the world. But who is Lord Brahma? What is Lord Brahma's position? He's the first living entity. He's Aja. But what is he practically speaking? He's most intelligent. Because he is the one who assembled the universe based on all the primary ingredients, the saga ingrediential creation that the Lord had made. So he assembled the universe. He is so intelligent, he figured out how to do it by the grace of Krishna. But he was bewildered. The uncommon features symptomatic of the incarnation of Godhead can bewilder even the mind of Lord Brahma. So why was Lord Brahma bewildered? Raise your hand, please. Yes, Mahatmaji.
The explication. He was only seen.
Okay, yes, but that comes later. That's bringing a very bhakti mood in this. But what? Why was he bewildered? I mean, just think of what happened.
Coming out of the nostril.
Yes, because usually when things come about out of our nostril, I mean, yeah. And yet, he displayed such an uncommon characteristic. This creature, first of all, a living entity came out. And then, first he was the size of a thumb, very, very small. And then he was the size of a stone. And then he was the size of an elephant. This is, one would have to say, it's impossible. And the materialistic minds and intelligence will say that this is some type of a story, some type of an untrue mythology. But Brahma was not in that mood because he was experiencing that. And his first reaction was, is this the Supreme Lord? The sages began to argue about it, and he said, is this the Supreme Lord? Now, this sentence, The uncommon features symptomatic of the incarnation of Godhead can bewilder even the mind of Brahma. Now, what's very important about that point? Is going to come and he's going to show himself as the Supreme Lord, and the sages are going to recognize him as the Supreme Lord. So in this pastime, this point is very relevant, but in the scope of the Bhagavatam, there's something even more wonderful and more difficult to understand is going to occur. Because Lord Varaha performed an activity that was completely and obviously uncommon. He immediately, first of all, the mysterious way he appeared, and then he immediately started growing until he was the size of an elephant, instantaneously, immediately. So therefore, immediately Brahma said, this must be the Supreme Lord. No other living entity can do this. But in the 10th canto, which Srila Sukadeva Goswami and Srila Vyasadeva and their followers, they're leading us gradually to the 10th canto, where even something more difficult to understand is going to occur. And that is that the Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna Stu, Bhagavan Swayam, he is going to appear. And then, within a few years after his appearance, he's not going to grow the size of an elephant, where everyone would say, oh, he must be the Supreme Lord, but he's going to wrestle with his friends, and he's going to steal butter, and he's going to dance in the middle of the night with others' wives. But it will have nothing to do with the world of matter. And it will have nothing to do, these activities of Krishna, they will have nothing to do with what my mind, which is ruled by the three modes of material nature, ignorance, passion, and goodness. It will have nothing to do with what that mind projects, or intelligence projects upon the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Because if I perform the activities, if I play, if I steal butter, if I do this, I do that, what's going on? It has to do with the modes of material nature. It's passion, goodness, and ignorance. Pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, forcing, driving the machine of my material intelligence, mind, and body. But when Krishna performs these activities, it is something of a completely different quality. It is the quality of prema. It is the quality of pure spiritual love that's uncontaminated by anything in the material world. And if it is uncontaminated by anything in the material world, how can my consciousness, which is, practically speaking, made of the material world, how can my mind conceive of the true nature of these activities? And the answer is that my mind cannot conceive of it. And therefore, before we study the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, and hear of Krishna's so sweet exchanges with his devotees, where Krishna is practically he's captured. He's captured by the pure love of his devotees. He's captured. Padamekam nagachati, and cannot leave Vrindavan. The Supreme Lord is controlled so much by the bhakti of his devotees. And this is what's going on in the Vrindavan. But how can we conceive of this? So therefore, thinking of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, now hear this sentence again. The uncommon features symptomatic of the incarnation of God, or in Krishna's case, Bhagavan Swayam, can bewilder even the mind of Brahma. And how Krishna's activities do bewilder the mind of Brahma is what I will be speaking about, interestingly enough, on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evening of this week. Brahma becomes bewildered. And then by Krishna's grace, he gains some understanding of who Krishna is. And I say some understanding because he, the most intelligent person, has no capacity to understand Krishna, actually. So he concludes that there is so much difference between your potency and my potency. Let others say they know something about God. I will never say that. I will never say it. He gets that kind of a glimpse that makes him feel like an ant in the presence of an elephant. Can an ant conceive of the elephant's power? No. So Brahma, feeling like an ant, understood. He just folded his hands, basically, and offered his prayers. And then at the end of his prayers, he said, "Can I leave now?" So very, very, very special. This pastime is it points just to Radha-Balava. It is very wonderful. And then one can ask the question, and one of the most amazing parts of Krishna's birth, when Janmashtami is coming up, one of the most amazing parts of Krishna's birth, and more difficult to conceive of, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's born not only in a prison, but even more amazing than him being born in the prison, he who is the creator of the prison, of the material world, is born in a prison, but more amazing than that, he's born in the womb of Devaki, Mother Devaki. So that kind of activity, which is not a leela, which is so much is like the activities of the material world, where Krishna is acting as if he's ordinary, while he's the most extraordinary, is the most bewildering. And how Krishna is crying tears when Mother Yashoda is chastising him. He's crying. Death is afraid of him. Fear personified is afraid of him. And he's crying. Real tears out of real fear out of Mother Yashoda. He gets angry because Krishna wasn't afraid of anyone. But he was afraid of Mother Yashoda. And this was bewildering to Kunti Devi. How is it possible that this is Krishna's Achintya Leela? It's inconceivable, materially inconceivable. By the mercy of Sisi Gonatai, though, they have revealed this most intimate and confidential secrets of the heart. They have revealed the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Rupa Goswami. We say that. What verse do we say? What's the verse that we say? Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam. He has revealed the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the heart of Sri Radha, Srimati Radharani. The most intimate thing. I mean, how many people in this world, just think of yourself for a second, as if I have to tell you to think of yourself for a second. But how many people really in this world really know your heart? Just think. I mean, don't, you know, it's not one of those questions where you have to answer it to me. But how many people actually really know your heart? What to speak of the heart of the greatest of the greatest. How secret that is. And Mahaprabhu has given that to everyone. And said, you come and participate in this. And he's made it, I won't say easy, because I've been chanting for too long to say it's easy, but he's made it more easy. Just chant Krishna's names, preach, take prasadam, worship the deities, hear the Bhagavatam, make your house into a holy place, and most important, associate with devotees. And also very important, don't associate in a very intimate way with non-devotees, because why?
Mind is like a mirror.
Yeah, it will reflect in our hearts, their desires. It's catching, like the common cold. It's catching. Desires are catching. So we don't want material desires to the heart. My heart is already so contaminated by material desires. I have so many desires. And before I can be with Krishna, anyabhi lasita sanyam gyanakama anavrita anakulena Krishna shilam. The heart has to be clean. And devotional service that is performed with a clean heart is the abhideya tattva, the process of attaining prema bhakti, a life, an eternal life in Goloka Vrindavan. So I want to cheto dharpana marjana, I want to clean my heart, not add more to my heart, garbage to my heart. So associate with devotees. This was this point about avoiding the association of non-devotees. I was just reading this yesterday in one of the prayers of that Prahlad Maharaj gave to Lord Nrisimhadev in Hari Varsha. Maybe not yesterday, 2 days ago. And he said this very, very clearly. We have to associate with devotees. And Srila Prabhupada, he told me this in Bhagavatam in Hong Kong, that we have to make deep friendship with the devotees. Otherwise, because we are social by nature, we need friends. We need friends, trustworthy friends, who aren't going to broadcast everything on BBC or whatever. That's in being a friend, one has to be confidential. Prabhupada said, if you don't make friendship with devotees, because we are social by nature, we'll be forced to associate intimately and make friendship with non-devotees. And then, if we associate with non-devotees in that way, we won't be able to follow the principles. So it's not he wasn't criticizing, you know, non-devotees, but non-devotees also are devotees. But they just don't know. Even the devotees are devotees, even though we don't know either, mostly. I was reading somewhere that Prabhupada was saying that all the difficulties in dealings, when this is all the conditioned nature, we're not actually dealing soul to soul. This is the problems all come from the conditioning. Just the past karma that we have, it doesn't have to do with the real person who's in the difficulties. It's very interesting to keep that in mind. So So we associate with devotees and chant Krishna's names. He or Srimad Bhagavatam, only association of devotees. Worship Sisi Gaudatai, Sisi Radhavallabha, Jagannath Baladeva, Subhadra Devi, in the association of devotees. And we live in a holy place. Okay. Thank you very much. And then we will be able to enter the very, very mysterious realm where Srila Prabhupada is a very kind followers and where they want to bring us. They want to bring us home. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes?
Maharaj, when non-devotees read these pastimes of Krishna, in particular this pastime called war,
how about Lord Nrisimhadev with the intestines, the garland of intestines?
They so easily scoff it off as mythology because of the fantastic nature of the war.
Yes.
How do we as preachers present the reality of this actual event to them? So it is convincing enough for them to actually understand, wow, this could be a reality.
Yes. Well, the first thing is we have to preach to the atheist inside us. Because since we're brought up, most of us have been brought up in a conventional, because the modern educational system, it doesn't teach, it teaches rational thought is the king. Materialism, basically. The founder acharya of materialism was a German philosopher named Feuerbach. And he said, his statement was that, I'm a materialist, I believe what I can see. That defines what a materialist is. So, because I haven't seen this, I don't believe it. So we can argue in so many ways like that, but the most important thing is that inside ourselves, that our own faith and trust is strong. So that's the first point. That's the first confrontation. Is how do I deal with the fact that God comes in the form of a hog, and he comes from the nostril of Lord Brahma, who has four heads. So which nostril did he come from after all? It can get very complicated. Yes. It can turn over everything and flip it upside down and cause everything to crash to the ground. So we have to be able to deal with us ourselves. So the first point is, and this is a thought that I've had recently, is, has to do with like book distribution, for example, or any kind of preaching. It really is meant to bring people into the association of devotees, because without the association of devotees, there's no chance of someone reading this and coming to someone who's brought up in the modern world and come to a positive conclusion about Krishna consciousness. So everything is meant to bring everyone into the association of devotees. The prasadam distribution, the book distribution, because in the association of devotees, we have an opportunity to explain things. Yes, can you say that the unlimited Supreme Lord is not capable of doing this? And this is the argument that Prabhupada gives about Krishna's birth from the womb of Devaki. He's already there. He's already there. So for him to manifest from a place where he already is not difficult at all. Because by definition, he is imminent. He is everywhere. He is all-pervading. So why can't he come in this form? Why can't he come from this place? He's already there. Is there a place where he's not? And this is the pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev. So Varahadev is born from the nostril of Brahma. Lord Nrisimhadev is born from a pillar. And not only that, in challenge to Hiranyakashipu, saying that, where is your God? And Prahlad's answer is, he's everywhere. So he takes his birth in a personal form, the Trinity, from a pillar, because he's already there, but he's already there personally. So although he's all-pervading, that doesn't mean he's impersonal. So many, many points can come from it. And but it has to be done in the association of devotees. So where does the form of a hog come from? So a materialistic scientist will say, comes by chance. But I personally find that very difficult to believe, because I don't see anything except chaos coming by chance. Something so complicated. I gave this a presentation actually to the students quite a few years ago, and it came from a materialistic book, and who was pro science, pro evolution, etc. But even he had to say that for life to come from chemicals, the particular protein molecule, one of the proteins that is required for one of the amino acids that is required to create a body, for it to come by chance, and he gave a figure of some number to the 47th or something, which is more than the total number of molecules in the universe. And he said it's basically impossible. And the likelihood of life assembling by itself is the same as a whirlwind going through a junkyard and coming up with a jumbo jet. Now, so what is the scientist's answer to this? Over time it happens. Now, would you be willing to wait in a junkyard for a whirlwind to come through and assemble a jumbled jet when you have to go to Sydney or something? I mean, it's not possible. It's not possible. So the answer of it's just chance doesn't work, at least for me. I don't believe it. I did believe it when I was growing up, but I don't believe it anymore. By Prabhupada's mercy. So, I mean, that's my way of answering a question that's not easy to answer. Any other questions that are easier to answer? Yes, they have faith in the Lord, but they don't. They understand that He is not my order supplier. And in dealing with particular issues that we may be thinking of, I don't want to answer it too directly. they have to accept. They have to accept He is the Lord. And He, in the words of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, He is the transcendental autocrat. He is the transcendental autocrat. What is an autocrat? We know what's a bureaucrat? What's a bureaucrat? Huh? What's a bureaucrat?
Stops everything.
Spoken like an experienced person from Agra. But a little bit of something can help move things from the bottom of the pile to the top. what is a bureaucrat? First of all, you work in an office. Raise your hand if you're a bureaucrat. You work in an office and you just move papers around and things like that. But what is an autocrat? What is an autocrat? Yeah? What is, yes, but what does it mean? That's what he, what does he do? Huh? He orders. He gives orders. The autocrat orders. And everyone else follows. And Krishna is the transcendental, absolute autocrat. And everyone follows. So for the materialistic mind is afraid of a transcendental autocrat. Because he can do whatever he likes. And we have no ability to stop him from doing whatever he likes. But the devotee, he knows Krishna. He's seen Krishna in his life. He hears Shastra. And he is surrendered to Krishna. And he understands that even if there is a difficult circumstance, there is some mercy from Krishna in it. He trusts that. That's called surrender, saranagati. And that's called gotrupte varanam. That means when we talk about surrender, and you read the songs of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that. He says, and this is what surrender means. I'm yours now. If you choose to feed me, I will eat. And if you choose not to feed me, I won't eat. That's what it means to be a devotee. And that type of a mood, that type of a surrendered mood, causes one or allows one, as Srila Jiva Goswami explains, to place oneself under Krishna's protection, causes a mood in one that Krishna will protect me, that I am his, I am his. That's like the small child can be fearless when the parents are nearby, because they know they will always protect me. So similarly, the devotee, because he's surrendered, it allows him to think, he will protect me or they will protect me, sincerely and fully. What do you think? But I asked for an easy question. But I gave an easy answer. That's not so easy to do. but this is what it means to be a devotee. Gotrupte saranam. And this is the angi. This is the meaning of surrender. And the other five elements of surrender are the parts. They are, you add them up almost in. Brahma will also give a comment on this too, on this point, when he says, Tateyano kampam susumakshimano. But we can talk a little bit after. Thank you very much. Any other? Did you have? And then,
Prabhu, you explained how Brahma had difficulty and he prayed to Krishna. And how
this is what Maitreya has explained.
Often when we are in problem, it's just the conditioning problem that we try to figure out how to solve it. And sometimes it just gets very difficult to just pray to Krishna and kind of come out of the situation.
Wait. Is it difficult to pray to Krishna or is it difficult to come out of the situation?
Okay.
Because I was listening to what you were saying. Sometimes if you listen carefully, some different... Yes, okay. So both become difficult. Yes.
So, yes.
So if you... Okay. If you... Praying to Krishna, one of the reasons why it's difficult to pray to Krishna is because our mood is, I want to come out of the situation. But surrendering to Krishna means allowing yourself to be in the situation if that's what Krishna wants. So the two may not be opposite to each other, but they may be opposite to each other. So if our praying to Krishna is to get us out of a particular situation, then naturally it's going to be difficult to pray to Krishna because we don't know if he's going to agree with our proposal. But on the other hand, there is a comment by Srila Jiva Goswami, I believe, that says that if you're in an emergency situation and you pray to Krishna to help you, which is completely natural, to get you out of this emergency situation, that is not against pure devotional service. Because it's just completely natural. Do you follow what I mean? This is, you know, a train is coming down and you happen to be on the tracks. You call out to Krishna, 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 save me. That's not against pure devotional service. It's just completely natural. So if you're in a situation where you say you love someone, you're praying to Krishna to save that person, that's also completely natural. That's not against pure devotional service. Okay, I didn't answer your question. So, what was the question again? Something about what do you do when you're not sure you want Krishna to save you? or whether you can pray or not. What do you do?
How to the mind is too absorbed in trying to bring self out. How do you pray to Krishna? How do you
pray to Krishna when your mind doesn't want to pray to Krishna? That's the question. You run into the temple room as quickly as possible and look at Radha Vallabha. And when you look at Radha Vallabha, then your mind will want to pray to Krishna. Is that true or not true? I think it's true, actually. Even for me. When you look at Gaur-Nitai and Radha Vallabha, the mind shifts. So which gives the hint of how to deal with the situation when the mind is really out of control. You have to take some strong medicine very quickly. You have to put yourself in the presence of something that's stronger than your mind very quickly. So chanting loudly can also do that. But first step is you have to recognize that my mind is not, it's showing its other side right now. You have to become aware of that, and that means you have to give up full identification with the mind. And then you have to take a step back and see, oh, my mind doesn't want to take shelter of Krishna, rather than experiencing, I don't want to take shelter. And then when you make that, sorry for getting complicated here, when you make that separation between you and your mind, then you can do something even though your mind doesn't want to do it. Like run into the temple or chant loudly. But the mind is very strong in Kali Yuga. So we need medicine, strong medicine. Kirtan. But there are easy answers you can give to this question. But when the mind is raging and very strong, it's very difficult. So sometimes we have to quiet the mind down. You should have a suite. One becomes peaceful, then no problem. Anyone else want to answer that? Help with answer that? Because there's no just one answer. So what do you do if your mind's giving you so much trouble? Would anyone like to say what they do when their mind's giving them trouble, other than surrender to their mind? Anyone like to say what to do? Yes.
Talk to devotees.
Reveal your heart to the devotees. Someone very trustworthy and comforting, I will add. Thank you very much. Anyone else like to say? Give us some advice?
Talk to Guru Maharaj.
Any other advice? Yes.
One of the simplest things, anyone can do is just have a diary. Really, it's like, you know, realization can come down to diary.
A journal like that. So you can write down, and when you're writing down, it gives a little bit of separation between what you're thinking and yourself. Thank you very much. Any other, all both practical, two practical suggestions anyway. Yes. Yes. Kirtan. Kirtan. I know. Yes, thank you. Any others? What has worked for you in the past, at least once? Yes, you raised your hand. You wrote me. You did. I have witnesses. You raised your hand. So please answer the question. So be generous with us and share some realization. What has worked for you sometimes when the mind is giving trouble? Talk to senior devotees. Thank you. Anyone else like to say? Yes?
Ask away.
And she'll tell you what to do. Right off the mental platform. Okay, good answer. Yes?
Study Shastra.
Just anywhere in Shastra? Or just pick up what book? Any holy book, any Shastra. Thank you. Yes? Yes. Yes, dear. Not what you really want, but what's the cause of the disturbance to your mind?
Yes.
Okay.
Because when you can tell that, if you can't tell a prayer that you don't believe in, they save me, and I don't feel like I'm going to be saved.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a mix, so you have to
find out what's really going on in your consciousness.
I think Mataji is there.
Yes, I know that, but I want to ask some of the pitadis. Because, anyway, because, I'll tell you later. Yes.
When I'm in a problem, I'd always try to bring out the positive side of the situation. Think of the positive side. What will be the positive effects?
Like when the train is coming down the tracks, and you're on the tracks. Different point than we're making. We're making the point about when your mind is not letting you think the way you want it to think, and you want to take shelter of Krishna. Now, what do you do?
There is also a point when I'm standing in front of the train. I can get liberated and
ask you for advice when I'm in front of a train. But what the question was, if you want to surrender to Krishna, but your mind is giving you trouble, so what do you do? That was the question.
Yeah, again, positive side, I mean, Krishna is, whatever he's doing for something good.
Okay, so you think, so, that's right. So you remember that Krishna's hand is very merciful in this. Right. Yes, that's a very, very good answer. Thank you. Anyone else have some advice for me? Yeah, yes, okay. When you point that way, I'll definitely listen. Otherwise, we'll both get in trouble later. Yes.
I wasn't saying that whatever the problem is, ask Krishna to please show me how to overcome this problem. Like, if you don't know how to pray, then ask Krishna to show you how to pray.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's our mind, like, we're discussing the mind is the problem, so we're trying to overanalyze things, and I don't know how to do this, I'm trying to figure out how to do this. I can't do this. So,
you're trying to pray, but you don't want to pray. You don't know how to pray. So then ask Krishna to show you how to do it. Yes. Whatever the difficulty is, ask Krishna. It's actually very interesting that the Avanti Brahmana in chapter 23 of the 11th canto says, because we're asking, if we have a problem, what do we do? And the Avanti Brahmana says, there is only one problem, and that's the mind. So this is the problem. So how to make the mind a friend, friendly to us and helping us in our great journey to the lotus feet of Krishna? This is the essential question. Yes, Mahatma.
By surrender.
By surrender. We have to surrender ultimately.
There's no other choice.
How old are you now, Mahabharji?
How old? How old are you?
How old? How many years?
78.
78. How many teeth? I should stop now. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Jai. Shri Gaunataya ki jai. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki jai. Shri Radha Balabha ki jai. Shri Prabhupada Bhakta Vrinda ki
jai. Jai.
Mind doesn't want to take medicine.